Sports Time Radio. All sports, all the time.
It's already Thursday this week. This, of course, is Sports Time Radio. I'm the Big Jack. With me is Dan the Man. If you'd like to call into the podcast, 646-478-3753 is the number to do that. If not, hey, feel free to email us, sportstimeradio@hotmail.com. Anything else you need, head on over to sportstimeradio.com. Of course, you know by now the new blogs go up on Wednesdays and Saturdays, but there is new content added at various times throughout the week, so you should continue to stop on over there, check out, see what's going on, see if you like something, or if you don't like something, feel free to leave a comment, whatever you got going on. But, of course, while you're at sportstimeradio.com, go ahead and hit that link, get yourself over to the Sports Time Radio Facebook page. If you could like that while you're over there, well, we'd greatly appreciate that. There's also the Sports Time Radio Twitter feed, which is at Sports Time Radio. Dan and I are on Twitter as well. I am at Burke Time, and Dan the Man is at?
Dan the Man with three E's.
So we have quite a bit of, call it interesting baseball news here. Dan, the biggest news to just come over the wire is the Orioles have re-signed Mark Trumbo to a three-year deal.
Wow.
So, yeah, it looks like they're saying the deal is 3 years for $37.5 million. So not quite as much as some people were talking, but obviously still not a bad way to make a living. I think he'll be okay on, what does that give him? 12.5 year about three is one, three goes into seven. How many times? Well, more like five. So yeah, a little over $15 million a year. I think he'll be okay on that. I'm not quite sure. Trumbo is only 31, so they're getting him at a pretty good time. Of course, he had I'd probably say the best year of his career last year with Baltimore. He, of course, hit, 47 bombs? Let me hunt his stats down here real quick so I'm a little more accurate. Yeah, 47 bombs, drove in 108. Hit 256. He's a career 251 hitter, so he was right in his general area. He did strike out 170 times, but that's the name of the game now, so nothing new there. Dan, I'm almost to the point where I'm just tired of making a big deal about strikeouts.
I think you're the only one now.
Yeah. Obviously he's never going to be a Gold Glove defender, but he's not there for that either. He's there to hit bombs. So, if he can get close to 40, his previously high before that was 34. So if he can land somewhere within that mark for the Orioles for these 3 years, I'm sure they'll be pretty happy with the deal. So, they needed an outfielder one way or the other. They were either going to have to re-sign him or replace him. So I think this works out really, really well for both parties, don't you?
Yeah.
So, it also gives the Orioles the opportunity of, instead of having to start both of them, they can now platoon Young-Soo Kim and Seth Smith. So that's probably a little better situation for them instead of having to try to run both guys out there. But I don't know. You think Trumbo gets close to 47 bombs this year, or how about over 40?
I think he'll be closer to just 40.
So yeah, we'll have to see. You know how that always works. Sometimes these guys get these big contracts, and then they they scuffle. So we'll see if Trumbo's one of these guys. This is the first time he's gotten a big deal like this. The Orioles kind of got him on the cheap last year when nobody swooped in. So we'll have to see. Our next signing here, I'm just going to take in the order that they're posted. It looks like that it's the Texas Rangers who won the Tyson Ross Derby. It says here that they have a one-year deal with Ross. It looks like the deal guarantees him $6 million, but there is also $3 million in incentives in the deal. They don't list what the incentives are, so I don't know how easily they would be to acquire. Ross was, he was a pretty big time player out there. You know, he got hurt with San Diego. I actually picked him up in the auction league last year. I thought he was going to be a huge deal. Made one start, pitched 5 1/3 innings for me for all the money I paid for him. There were, a lot of teams kind of sniffing around. You know, the Cubs kicked the tires. It looked like he was going to go to the Nationals because his brother is in their starting rotation. That really looked like a done deal, but nothing happened there. A couple other teams, kind of checked in. I believe the Pirates looked. You want to do that. But, yeah, he lands with the Rangers who need pitching. So, we'll have to see. Obviously, last year you can't take much from it. 2015, he did make 33 starts. He was 10-12, but remember, that was with a bad San Diego team. He did have a 3.26 ERA, though. So, he's definitely a quality starting pitcher. I don't know if I don't know if you'd call him a number one, but it's not exactly what the Rangers are looking for. I mean, this is a pretty good fit for them, isn't it? A guy to plug in behind Hamels and Darvish, a guy the quality of Ross.
Well, I think that was one of the things we focused on before with Texas, that they needed to pick up some pitching. I mean, not that they're the only one.
They did add Andrew Cashner earlier as a free agent as well. So being able to put him back at, four or even five, depending on who grabs that other spot. I mean, this rotation is shaken out. It looks like right now they have Martin Perez penciled in as the other starter. But, of course, depending on how spring training goes and everything else, you never know if a guy can bubble up. But, of course, Texas does have a for some reason, always seems to have a boatload of prospects, so you never know if one of them is, close to major league ready or possibly major league ready that maybe, he sneaks in and takes a spot. I know the other day I saw it was A.J. Griffin they were penciling in as that fifth starter, so who knows? There'll be a competition there. And, it should be interesting, but, definitely a good signing with a good value, right? I mean, $6 million with the possibility to earn $9 million now is kind of nothing in today's baseball.
Pretty much.
So we'll check that one off, and I will jump to the next one here as we have the Brewers actually making a signing. They sign reliever Neftali Feliz to a one-year deal with a guarantee of $5.35 million. But, of course, he has incentives as well that can kick the deal up to $6.85 million. I don't know how many people remember this, but Feliz was actually Rookie of the Year back in 2010. Dan, you remember that?
Speaking of Rookie of the Year, Corey Seager shirt coming to mail soon.
Because he had a big year for Texas as their closer. 40 saves, a 2.73 ERA. Sadly, like a lot of pitchers do, had some arm trouble. Really struggled 2012, 2013. you know, bounced back a little bit in 2014, but really, really fought the injury bug. Got himself kind of straightened out with Berg last year as a setup man. You know, a lot of guys seem to do that. You go to Pittsburgh, get worked out. He appeared in 62 games. He was 4-2 with a 3.52 ERA. Did save a couple games. You know, I don't know if the Brewers are going to try to plug him into the closer role or, you know, what they might try to do with him. I mean, obviously with a team in flux like Milwaukee, who knows? Let me pull up their depth chart here and see if they give us any hints on what they might be planning to do with Felipe, because I'm not sure if he's still a viable closing option. Do you think he is?
Yeah, I am. I mean, he's got no one else going.
Yeah, it looks like as of right now, they are planning on using him as their closer. So, you know, that's something to keep an eye on. They don't really have any other real options in their bullpen. Looking at it here is, you know, they have it set up. So, you know, unless somebody breaks through, you know, or shows they can do it in spring training, it looks like it's going to be Felice's job. Of course, this is also the team that still has Matt Garza in their starting rotation. So don't think any of us are going to be picking the Brewers to go to the playoffs next year. So, and then finally, Dan actually posted this on Sports Time Radio on the Facebook page. So if you follow it, it would have came up in the Twitter feed and all kinds of other stuff. When he first posted this, I thought this was another Mariner trade. I actually read it wrong. But instead it was the Miami Marlins who went out and got the now well-traveled Dan Staley for three prospects. They gave up Luis Castillo, Austin Bryce, and Isaiah White. Staley had a very good year with, you know, obviously a very bad Reds team last year. And he was quite the talk around the trade deadline. You know, he was 14-8 with a 3.76 ERA. He made 31 starts. He was in 34 games. So that was the most starts he'd ever made, Dan, and the most games he had ever pitched in. Obviously the most wins as well. Is Miami getting that guy, or are they going to get a guy who, you know, is a little less than that, I would say?
Well, I mean, I don't remember off the top of my head, but I feel like the Marlins are the team trying to shore up their bullpen in the hopes that, you know, they have a solid 7, 8, 9, and even, you know, a number 6, so that you could pick up a guy like Dan Straley and only have him go 5 1/3 innings, right? Is this the team?
Yeah, you know, I mean.
But then,
you know, I you know, in a perfect world, yeah, I think, you know, you would, you know, kind of like to see it go that way. I don't know if their bullpen depth is quite there yet, but, you know, they did add, you know, Brad Stigler and Junichi Tozawa to the bullpen this year. So, you know, they did add some. It looks like their pencil in Straley is in his 3 guy. You know, your guy Wei Ying Chin at number 1, obviously he's got to come back healthy. They signed Edison Volquez, he'll be 2, then Straley along with Tom Kohler and then Jeff Locke at 4 and 5. So it's it's a solid rotation. It's not anything to get too excited about. But yeah, I'm just not sure if I see Straley as a consistent 14 game winner.
I mean, we've seen stranger things happen. If you're the Marlins, are you still looking for another starter?
Yeah, I think if the right one came across, you would take one more. You know, and try to kind of shore that up a little. Now, the the big guy they gave up in the deal was Austin Bryce, or no, wait, wrong guy, sorry. Isaiah White, excuse me, was the big outfield prospect. I was reading the sentence backwards there. He's a 20-year-old, played in low class A last year. I'm always baffled, Dan, on how these guys kind of become prospects. He hit .214 with one home run and 17 RBIs.
Wow, he's amazing.
Yeah, and he's considered a top prospect. Obviously they're looking at other things, I'm guessing. So, he's the outfield prospect they got. I believe the other two are pitchers here. Yeah, Austin Bryce is a 24-year-old right-handed pitcher who actually pitched 15 games for the Marlins last year, covered 14 innings. He was 0-1 with a 7.07 ERA. So just, a small cup of coffee there. Of course, the Reds are looking for guys to bend anyways. Luis Castillo is also 24. He split time last year between high A and double A. Combined for the year, he was 8-6 with a 2.26 ERA, made 24 starts, appeared in 26 games. So he looks like he did pretty well, but they don't list him as a top prospect. It's just the guy who hit .214. So, but yeah, so that's what they got in return. Kind of what the Reds needed. They need younger arms and younger guys to take a look at while they're trying to go through, what is surely probably going to be a 10-year rebuild for this team, because they just can't seem to get rid of their veterans. So we'll see. Hopefully the Reds fans will hang on and come up with something there. But yeah, those were the big moves today with signings and trades and all the other fun stuff going on. But I was trying to remember, Dan, are there with Batista and Trumbo now off the market, who's left?
I'm trying to think. I feel like that's as far as.
I mean, does Jason Hamill become the big name out there?
He becomes the last name out there.
You know. Well, there's still this. Matt Wieters is still out there. He's obviously a very good catcher. I'm a little surprised he's still hanging around. Let's see if I can just kind of see if there's any other names that kind of pop out or, possibly look to be bigger names. Yeah, no, there's really not much, left. I mean, unless a team's looking for like a, left-handed hitting, you look at a guy like Pedro Alvarez, who is just 30. There's a lot of mid-tier guys, the Brandon Mosses, players kind of that caliber. But yeah, pitching wise, yeah, it's Jason Hamill and, kind of guys, I guess you would list as below them. Greg Holland is still out there. I'm sure sooner or later, somebody's going to take a look at him and see if he's recovered from Tommy John. It's just finding, the right fit. Your guy Sergio Romo's still hanging around out here. Are you surprised by that?
No, sadly.
But yeah, that's really, really about it. Name wise, I am a little surprised nobody's picked up Travis Wood yet. He's a really valuable piece. I mean, he can be that swing starter or, big time bullpen guy. So I'm a little surprised there hasn't been more teams. I haven't even heard his name, so. You know, I don't know why teams haven't, you know, kind of kicked the tires there and see what he wants to do. Oh. So, yeah, you know, but yeah, other than that, yeah, there's not much, not much left hanging around on the free agent market. It's kind of, you know, the journeyman type of middle of the road guys that, you know, obviously probably will be signed closer to spring training as teams, you know, try to fill out their rosters and realize, you know, do I need the extra catcher? You know, do I need, you know, the left-handed hitter? Do I need a left-handed pitcher? You know, those kind of things. So, you know, we'll have to keep up with it and see what happens with it. What was I looking for? There was something I saw here that I wanted to. Here you go. They had a one. You know, one of those things. I always get a kick out of when they kind of rank things or try to put things in order. So this one is ranking the best Hall of Fame class ever.
Oh God.
So. Now, you know, some of these are pretty obvious because, you know, they didn't have the Hall of Fame right from the start. So this has got to be one of the earlier classes. I don't know off the top of my head when it opened. But at number one, they have 1936. Here you go, Dan. How about this for a Hall of Fame class? Babe Ruth, Christy Mathewson, Walter Johnson, Ty Cobb, and Honus Wagner.
Wow.
I could probably look it up, but this, yeah, that was the 1936 class. So they have them on top. They, you know, they have the 1947 class is next. But I'm a little surprised they actually throw the 2015 class in third. That was Randy Johnson, Pedro Martinez, Craig Biggio, and John Smoltz.
36 was the year it was founded.
36, okay. So, yeah, that was the very first class. So, no surprise that was a, you know, that was a big deal. They throw 2014 in fifth. Greg Maddux, Frank Thomas, and Tom Glavine. I'm just looking now for some of the closer ones that, you know, guys we've seen play or would know about. Oddly, they put this one 10th with Bagwell, Rodriguez, and Reigns. And he only does 10, so that's the last one. I don't know if I buy that as being the 10th class, but you know, that's some of the stuff he went with there. And but yeah, it's kind of humorous looking at that first class. It's like, geez, you know, I wonder how they narrowed it down to just, you know, the six guys, you know, out of all the guys who had played, you know, just imagine that voting.
Well, I'm sure they try to get the most popular as part of the game.
Yeah, you know, one of the things I'm just wondering, I saw the 1937 class, but yeah, these guys weren't good enough to get in the first class, Dan, but that was Nap LaJoy, Trish Speaker, and Cy Young. So you're good enough to have an award named after you, you're just not good enough to get in the first Hall of Fame class. So...
Well, I mean, I believe that's what I was actually going to ask you, where I was surprised that Cy Young wasn't in the first Hall of Fame.
Yeah, so, I mean, it is kind of humorous when you think about it. I mean, he's the only guy who had an award named after him. You know, I know, as of late, they've, you know, they've added, you know, I think, what is it, Rivera has, a, you know, I think they, do they have awards named after everybody now? You know, because I know those aren't the relief awards. One's like, one's named after Mariano, and is the other one named after Trevor Hoffman? I don't even know, but.
Well, but I think,
you know,
that's
it's
just for, because they stopped the whole World League relief or relief, whatever.
So, but yeah, so yeah, it's like here. Well, you know, we're gonna name this award after you, but we're not going to put you in the first Hall of Fame class. So. I guess it happens, you know, so.
Yeah, but it looks like the Cy Young Award didn't start until 1958.
Yeah. So, well, at least they had some time to think about it then, you know. Oh, that stinks. I would have liked to have, I would like, they had the bottom 10 farm systems ranked, but it's part of that goofy insider package that drives me nuts on the Mickey Mouse website. I was going to say that would be cool for us to kind of look at and see if, you know, see who was down there and how they kind of got down there, but I guess that's not going to happen, so we will move on. Did you, I'm going to guess no here because I know this is pretty late. You know, I know you picked the Thunder to win last night. They did get beat, sadly, pretty handily. But did you get to see any of the game?
No, too late.
Yeah, I don't know if you've caught the highlight yet, but I'm sure you'll run across it. Russell Westbrook gets a very hard foul. Aja Pachulia, he was assessed a flagrant one. The first thing that popped into my mind was, you know, if this had happened to LeBron James, they'd be throwing Pachulia out of the league. But yeah, it was the definition of cheap shot. There was, you know, no doubt about it at all. It was, you know, it was ridiculous. He probably should have been ejected. I don't know if they can do that in the NBA, but he probably should have been. You know, he actually ended up, like, putting his forearms up into Westbrook's face and knocking him to the floor. Now, you know, Westbrook came out, and the NBA is going to review both sides of this because, obviously, Westbrook very unhappy. Let me see if I can find his quote here. He said, Westbrook said, he hit me kind of hard, but it's all right. I'm going to get his ass back straight up. So, I don't know if or when these teams meet again, but it should be quite interesting to see if for what Westbrook does, right?
Oh, yeah.
So. But, yeah, I would like to assume the, what did they say? Where did they say he was? The NBA discipline gentleman, what do they call his names? The NBA Executive Vice President of Basketball Operations is Kiki Vandeweghe. He's the one in charge of league discipline. He's actually at the D-League showcase in Toronto this week. So he didn't comment because they don't know if he'd actually seen the incident or how it worked out. But I'm assuming you've got to, you know, you've got to either lay a hefty fine on Pachulia or he's got to get a suspension. You know, it was just, like I said, it was a hugely cheap shot. You know, and then to do it to one of the biggest stars in the game, that's you've got to pay a price there, don't you? I mean, what do you think?
Well, I mean, it shouldn't matter if it's, you know, the biggest star in the NBA, McGee, or, you know, Doug McDermott. issue with the NBA, or my issue with the NBA, is that, you know, it all depends on who's getting fouled. And that helps determine the repercussions. I mean, I didn't realize there was a caste system within the NBA as far as superstar status goes. You know, is it ranked by your pay? I mean, if you're in this pay level, you can get these extra, you know, fouls. But if you're below this pay level, you're not going to get those fouls, but you're going to get them called on you.
Well, yeah, it's always been like that for a long time with the superstars getting calls that other players don't get. That's why LeBron cries so much, because he's so used to getting those calls. You know, when he doesn't get the ticky-tack call, it aggravates him and he cries about it. So,
I mean, I don't know. I think I'd be fired if I was a ref, because, you know, I might catch, you know, tap on a wrist, but I might not see when he gets elbowed in the face, you know?
Yeah. there was quite another humorous incident in that game regarding Russell Westbrook. They inbounded him the ball, and now I don't know what he was thinking. He literally tucks the ball under his arm and walks 5 or 6 steps before he starts to dribble. Now, the really weird thing about it was the fact that they didn't call traveling until he started to dribble the basketball. So I was at one point, I was just wondering if they were going to call it at all. So, but they did manage to call it on him, and it was just, you know, I mean, we've all had that, you know, brain cramp or whatever you want to call it. And I'm guessing this was Westbrook's, because he just literally tucked the ball under his arm and started walking. And it's like, Russ, what are you doing? So.
Was this before or after the foul?
That I don't know. I didn't. He didn't specify, so, you know, I'm not sure. I'm thinking from the way the setup was and everything that it was more, but don't quote me on that. I don't know. But while we're on Westbrook, and I'm sure this will come up as a snub, they announced the starters for the All-Star game. Dan, I know you voted and you were heavily excited on who was going to get the starts. Well, in the Western Conference, you will see Steph Curry and Kevin Durant of the Golden State Warriors, they get a start. James Harden of the Rockets, along with Kawhi Leonard of the Spurs, and Anthony Davis of Pelicans are your starting five in the East.
Wow.
You know, I can understand, you know, Westbrook being a guard, you know, it's going to be tough to beat out guys like Curry and Harden, and, you know, obviously he'll be on the team. It just kind of stinks that the fans didn't see him as a starter. So, and then in the East here, Dan, you ready? The East features Cleveland Cavalier teammates Ron James and Kyrie Irving, Jimmy Butler of the Chicago Bulls, Giannis Antetokounmpo of the Milwaukee Bucks, and DeMar DeRozan of the Toronto Raptors are the five starters in the West.
You know, all the negative talk about Jimmy, when did he become a superstar?
Yeah, that one I think is the biggest surprise of all to me, that he's going to be named, or he is named a starter. So I'm quite shocked there that, you know, I mean, he has had, you know, he's had his 50-point games, and, you know, he is, you know, a very good defender. So I can understand, you know, people liking him. But, yeah, I was quite shocked when I saw his name there. So, But yeah, I guess the announcements come on TNT later tonight, officially. So, you know, that, and I didn't realize, Dan, that the Pelicans play at the Smoothie King Center, which is just kind of frightening for me. So.
But that's not another stadium.
But yeah. Yeah, they announced the starters tonight, and then next week they announced the reserves because the coaches take the, choose them. So, but yeah, and then if you're if you have Kevin Love in your fantasy league, you may want to get him out of your lineup because he's going to sit tonight with what's being described as back spasms. So,
yeah, he was having that the other night.
Yeah, so. But, yeah, and then I know the other big NBA injury, Rudy Gay of the Kings, has a ruptured Achilles. So he is obviously done for the year. So if you're a Rudy Gay owner or, you know, if you're planning on betting on him in FanDuel here or whatever you were going to do with him, going to need to go a different route because Rudy is definitely done for the year. But they did clear your guy Kristaps Porzingis. He apparently doesn't have any Achilles damage, and he should be returning to the Knicks very soon. I didn't see if he was going to play tonight. I know the Knicks are the first TNT game. Let me pull up the schedule while I'm rambling here. We got the Phoenix Suns at the Cleveland Cavaliers. That game should be starting momentarily. The Dallas Mavericks at the Miami Heat. The Washington Wizards at the New York Knicks. That's the first game on TNT. The Denver Nuggets at the San Antonio Spurs, and then the night on TNT wraps up with the Minnesota Timberwolves at the LA Clippers. So only five games in the NBA tonight. So, but yeah, not. Here's the Porzingis report. That's what I wanted to check and see. Yes, they said the MRI said it showed no structural damage. He missed the last four games, but they list him as available for tonight's game. So I'm guessing maybe he won't play, you know, his normal minute, but you know, he'll get in. But also for the Knicks tonight, Joakim Noah is out with a sprained ankle. So maybe Porzingis will play a little more than we thought. So, you know, now my question for you here, Dan, you know, the NBA is getting real close to that, you know, that halfway point, and we're going to have the, you know, the good old All-Star break coming up with all the fun events and the activity stuff. Now, the 76ers are 14-26. They are 6.5 games out of the 8th spot in the East. It looks like, as long as, you know, nothing happens, they are on a 2-game winning streak, by the way. They're 7-3 in their last 10. It looks like they're going to get Ben Simmons back after the All-Star break. Do they make the playoffs?
I think they can. I don't know why I'm saying that, but I think they can.
So, you know, it could be, you know, definitely could be, you know, quite interesting to see, you know, what Simmons returns like and how, you know, how things go that way. I don't know, you know, obviously he's been out half the season. I don't know, you know, he's got to get back into game shape, as they always call it. You know, being in shape is one thing, being in game shape is another. So, but yeah, you know, six and a half games isn't a ton to make up when, you know, you've got 40 games left. You know, how, you know, I mean, would you be excited to see them get in, or how would you kind of look at it?
I would be excited to see them get in. I mean, being a pseudo fan of theirs, you know, strictly because of Iverson, you know, I think Philadelphia kind of got that a name behind them. And over the last couple of years with their tanks and not winning 10 games, I think it would be pretty cool to see them make the playoffs this year.
So, yeah, you know, the weird thing, you know, is they had that, you know, that general manager, Sam Hinkie, for a long time. He was the guy who went through this and came up with the trust the process tagline. You know, last year they had some big issues and they, you know, they basically ran him out of his job. And it's kind of weird that after all this, it looks like it's starting to work and he's gone. You know, he doesn't get to reap any of the benefits of what was, 4 years, 5 years of them just really sucking?
Yeah.
So, I don't, you know, I just thought it was really weirder, you know, that's kind of how things played out for the guy. So, but yeah, you know, it could be interesting, you know, to see Simmons come back. I mean, you know, if he can contribute, I definitely don't think it could be, you know, big of a hurdle to come, get six games back and, you know, or six and a half. How funny would it be if the Sixers beat the Bulls out for the eighth seed?
It'd be kind of a slap in the face.
So.
But I think as long as the Knicks don't get in, if the Bulls don't, then you're fine.
And yeah, and you know, the tough part, of course, you know, with 40 games left, there's still a lot to go. If there were less games, it would be a bigger concern because they do have to jump five teams, which is a big hurdle. But again, with 40 games, you can really, you know, really kind of play this out. You know, and then I didn't realize this, or I actually should say I didn't remember this until the other day. You know, the Brooklyn Nets are the worst team in the NBA. You know, they're 8-33. They've actually lost 11 games in a row. And I was thinking, well, no big deal. You know, they'll go through the lottery. They'll have the best shot at getting the number one pick. You know, maybe they could, you know, improve that way like a lot of teams do. And then I realized yesterday when I was listening to something that they don't even own their number one pick next year. It goes to the Celtics. So, you know, the Celtics are sitting in third right now. They could have the number one pick, but I heard an interesting thing about this. If you're the Celtics, do you trade that pick to the Knicks for Carmelo Anthony?
Ooh. I mean, I haven't really taken a look at the Celtics, but I think that's a better fit than any other team.
Yeah, well, I can tell you they're 26-16. They're in third in the Western Conference right now, just four games behind the Cavaliers. They did lose last night. I don't remember who they lost to last night, but it was a team they should have beaten. So they had kind of a stinker. I was thinking maybe they lost to the 76ers, but I don't know if that's correct or not. I would have to double check my math here real quick and see who they did lose to. No, they actually, oddly enough, you know, I should have known this. They lost to the Knicks. You picked the Knicks to win. They beat the Celtics last night. Derrick Rose went for 30 points. So, but yeah, that, you know, that could be, and you know, of course, you know, to make the trade now, you know, if you're the Knicks, say the Celtics came to you and they offered you that deal now, do you take it knowing there's a chance that the pick actually could fall to number three? Or do you wait until the lottery draw and hang on to Carmelo until you know where that pick is?
Well, I mean, and ideally you'd want to hold on to it or hold on to Melo. But I still think even with the number three, they'd be pretty good, no? Duke and Kansas and all the other ones and Duns have, you know, there's at least three guys out there, right?
Oh, you would think. You know, now last year, you know, remember they said there was only two. So, you know, you do have to wonder if, you know, maybe it's something like that. You know, it was Ben Simmons and Brandon Ingram, and I don't believe, let me hunt his stats down, but I don't believe Ingram has done a ton with the Lakers. Obviously, you know, I don't get to see him much being that they're, you know, a West Coast team and stuff. And I thought they were going to use him as a sixth man, so that isn't exactly, you know, gonna help anybody out here. Let me find him. Yeah, he's well, he is playing 27.9 minutes a game, but he's only averaging 8.2 points, 4.1 rebounds, and 2.1 assists.
It's not bad for a rookie, but they may want these guys coming out of college, you know, averaging 30 points a game.
Yeah, you know, and I mean, there, you know, there are guys who can do it, you know, but not everybody can, you know, not every draft is, I don't know, gold, however you want to look at it. And they were, you know, they were kind of saying all along that they thought last year's draft was going to be one of the weaker ones. So, you know, I mean, just kind of looking at it, you know, Jaylen Brown went third to the Celtics. I, for some reason, I thought he's playing overseas this year. I don't even think he's on the Boston roster. I think they, oh no, here he is. Okay. One of their prospects is playing overseas. He's played in 41 games. He's averaging 13.2 minutes a game and 5 points per game. He was the third pick. So.
Well, let me ask you, Big Jack. I know you weren't watching every single Cavaliers game when LeBron came into the association. But I mean, you've got a quality coach out in L.A., and I can't, for whatever reason, I can't think of his name off the top of my head right now. But he's got that quality coach with the Lakers. He proved it with, you know, his time with Golden State and Steve Kerr out. But how much of the coach, the coaching staff and, you know, the schemes, the plays they put together, how do you think that affects, you know, the new guy, the rookies coming in? I mean, I just can't imagine LeBron being the greatest basketball player on earth, and, you know, everyone's been watching him since he was in, like, eighth grade or whatever the whole deal was. But, I mean, I just don't imagine this guy getting drafted, stepping into the NBA, and just scaring the crap out of everybody where, you know, everyone's like, go, oh, just let him shoot, let him drive, let him do it, let him score 30 points. I just – is that how it worked when LeBron came in?
No, you know, they're, you know, obviously some guys are better right out of the gate than others. You know, the one guy coming to mind for whatever reason was Magic Johnson. Here, I got LeBron's rookie stats. He played in 79 games. He averaged 39.5 minutes a game. So he did play quite a bit. That first year, he averaged 20.9 points per game. That's the lowest he's averaged in his career. So wow. That rookie season was really a learning curve for him, and you know that happens quite a bit to a lot of guys. It's not, you know, anything new or, you know, anything like that. You know, you have to make the adjustments. You know, like I mentioned, you know, Magic, he played in 77 games as a rookie, 36.3 minutes. He averaged 18 points, but he also averaged 7.3 assists. You know, because him and, you know, him and Larry Bird are really credited for kind of bringing the NBA back. I mean, as weird as it seems now, you know, they used to show their finals on tape delay.
Yeah.
You know, late at night, you'd get the final game at like 10:30. I remember it being on CBS. So, you know, and then Larry Bird is a rookie. He played in all 82 games. He averaged 21.3 points per game. So, you know, that's a little bit of comparison there.
And now I know even you want to talk recent history, within the last 50, 60 years, it's not like MLB and all that good stuff, but the NBA had their competition, which lasted pretty long with the ABA. Does that really affect the NBA or basketball as a whole? And is that how Johnson and Bird kind of brought people back into it?
You know, I think the ABA was gone. You know, if they weren't gone, they were a non-entity by the time Johnson and Bird came along. I'm trying to remember, you know, what really sparked it is, you know, they had they played in the college championship game against each other, and it was a phenomenal game. You know, Magic and Michigan State beat Bird and Indiana State. And it was it was one of the better NCAA championship games of all time. And then they went 1-2 in the draft. So, you know, it was kind of a rivalry built for, you know, the ages, so to speak, I guess is what they would call it. And, you know, they, you know, lucky enough for the NBA, you know, this was the time that sports television was coming around and they needed to get sports on, you know, as weird as it may sound, you know, you need to show sporting events. And, you know, the NBA was cheap. You know, it wasn't going to cost you much to get them. Like I said, they were showing their finals on tape delay. So, you know, it just kind of worked out in that, you know, perfect storm scenario. And then they ended up meeting in a couple of finals. And, you know, it was really, you know, everything worked out. And then the next thing, you know, Jordan came along. And, you know, that was, you know, that just kept blowing things out of the water there.
Yeah.
So,
I mean, was there, you know, with LeBron, you know, there was the hype, like I said, since I think he was in eighth grade. Did that come along with Jordan? Or did he just kind of get drafted by the Bulls and do that dunk and then he's infamous?
Yeah, well, again, the funny thing with that is, you know, he wasn't even the number one pick in the draft, Jordan. He was, I think, 3. You know, I believe it was Akeem and Sam Bowie went 1-2, and then Jordan went 3 to the Bulls. So, they just kind of lucked into that. And, you know, he developed into the greatest player of, you know, all time. But then, you know, once that happens, I mean, you've heard it a million times. Who's the next Jordan? You know, I mean, they had the kid from USC, Harold Miner, they used to call Baby Jordan. He didn't work out. You know, there have been other guys who have been hit with the tag. Could this guy be the next Jordan? LeBron was just that guy they found. You know, oh, look at this, you know, eighth grader. You know, can he be the next Jordan? And, you know, he pretty much has. You know, he's been the guy.
Yeah, but you've got to wonder before LeBron opens his mouth and says, tell everyone to shut up because he's the first LeBron James. Maybe then I'll like him.
Yeah.
Hey, you know.
All right. Well, we're running out of show here, so let's make some picks here. You were 2-1 last night. Again, Oklahoma City cost you. I went down the NBA schedule once. I'll run it over again. Phoenix is at Cleveland. Cleveland's actually winning 23-15 right now. We got Dallas at Miami, Washington at New York, Denver at San Antonio, and Minnesota at Los Angeles. That would be the Clippers. Dan, we're going to go right back to the top here because I like this game very much. We have the let me check this quickly. The 14-27 Dallas Mavericks at the 12-30 Miami Heat. Who you got?
Jeez. I'm going with Dallas.
All right. So, and then we won't stray too much farther from there either. We'll go with the first game on TNT tonight. The Washington Wizards and your fantasy guy, Bradley Beal, against your New York Knicks, Dan. The Knicks got a big win for you last night. You got them going back-to-back with W's, or does Washington take them down?
Did Washington play last night?
No, they did not.
Yeah. Oh, so that even ups the ante. I'm going with Washington and what I would think would be the more youthful staff.
Yes, all right. And then here we go with the NHL schedule. The Dallas Stars at the New York Islanders, the Ottawa Senators at the Columbus Blue Jackets, the New York Rangers at the Toronto Maple Leafs, the Washington Capitals at the St. Louis Blues. By the way, Dan, that game is on Comcast here locally tonight if you want to watch it. The Arizona Coyotes at the Minnesota Wild, the Nashville Predators at the Calgary Flames, the Colorado Avalanche at the Anaheim Ducks, and the Tampa Bay Lightning at the San Jose Sharks. You know what we're going back to, Dan. You've already picked the Wizards to win on the road against the Knicks. Are you taking the Capitals to win tonight on the road against the Blues?
Yes, just because.
Oh. All right, so we'll lock in Dan's picks. See how he does. Yeah, I was actually happy when I was flipping stations, I was happy to see that that game was going to be on because there's not much,
so it's on,
you know, much on tonight,
Comcast?
You know. Yeah, it's on our Comcast Sports Network. They're showing it. So,
wow. We had talked about that a little bit last year. One night I turned on Comcast SportsNet and I'm like, wait a minute, I'm not watching the Hawks. It was the San Jose Sharks. Sorry about that.
Oh, yeah. You know, it's nice that they throw those in there from, you know, time to time. So, you know, get a nice little ad and stuff going there.
Well, and it's not just any game. I mean, this is a big game. You've got the Blues here, and then the Caps and, the Capitals.
There we go. All right, it's time for Dan and I to take off. Don't worry, we're coming back tomorrow at 5:30 live. You know the deal while we're away. Over to TimRadio.com. Check out all the stuff there. Link over to Facebook page. Give us a like, please. Dan and I would really appreciate that. Don't forget the Twitter feed, which is at Sports Time Radio. Now, you know, Dan's picks will come up there, or you can get them at Dan C. Mann. Just remember, there's three E's in that. So now he's going with the Washington Capitals over the St. Louis Blues. He also likes the Washington Wizards over the New York Knicks. And then he rounds out his night by going with, I got to look because I forgot, over the Miami Heat. So get on that Twitter feed. Let Dan know what you think. As always, thanks for listening live. And don't forget, you can get the podcast anytime you want at TuneIn.com.